Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. When our first child was born, I had three nearly simultaneous thoughts. And just to be clear, when I say when our first child was born, I mean exactly that. As in, while my wife Karen was actually delivering our son Jack, I had these three nearly simultaneous thoughts. First, I could not get over the incredible amount of love that I immediately felt for this child. I mean, I loved my wife, I loved my parents and siblings, so I thought I knew what love was, but this was different. It was just plain bigger, more immense than anything I'd ever experienced or could even imagine, until, of course, it happened again when our daughter Katie was born. Second, it suddenly occurred to me that my parents probably loved me that much, and that thought blew me away. It had just never occurred to me. Third, I could not believe that God chose to come into the world this way. All right, I know that last one might sound a little weird, and I feel like I should probably apologize to my wife and maybe all the mothers are here for letting my thoughts wander at that particular moment. But in my defense, I am a pastor, and thoughts like that happen. I just can't help it. So that in that moment when Jack was born, that's what I thought. I literally could not believe that God chose to come into the world that way. But according to St. Luke, that's what Christmas is all about. It's easy to forget, I know, whether it's the beautiful carols of O Come All Ye Faithful or the neat and tidy manger scenes we've set up over the years. I think we've gotten so used to St. Luke's story of angels and shepherds that we miss the fact that it's mostly an account of a young woman giving birth, with the same amount of hope and fear, joy and pain, blood, sweat and tears that accompanies every birth. For nearly 2,000 years, Christians have confessed that in that birth, God came into the world to be one of us. But when you stop to think about that story, it sounds suddenly a little crazy. I mean, when my son was born, he was, just like all babies, so vulnerable and so fragile, and in that particular moment, so messy. That's how God, the creator and sustainer of the vast cosmos, came to save us. It seemed at just that moment absurd. As it turns out, I wasn't the first person to think like that. Very early in the church's history, there was actually a huge controversy over whether or not Jesus was really human and his birth actually took place. Perhaps a number of those early Christians wondered, perhaps Jesus only looked human. A champion of this view was a guy by the name of Marcion, who simply could not believe that God would come into the world in such a messy way. And so he argued that Jesus was more like an angelic superhero than he was a real flesh and blood person. Interestingly, Marcion's views, first given voice in the second century, seemed to be finding a new audience in the 21st. Polls show that each year more and more people struggle to believe the Christmas story and its testimony that God became like us. We're comfortable with a hazy spirituality, it seems, but not sure of a personal God who shows up in the flesh. Perhaps you've had your own doubts as well. If so, I sympathize. When you stop to think about it, the story we tell this night does seem a little far-fetched, if not just plain absurd. And truth be told, I can offer you no proof of the Christmas story, no irrefutable evidence that God became human, but I can share with you what the church has believed and taught and confessed for centuries. At the same time Marcion was making his case, you see, he drew out an unlikely opponent in a monk by the name of Tertullian. "Come then, start with the birth itself," Tertullian once wrote in a letter to Marcion. "The object of aversion, and run through your catalog, the filth of the seeds within the womb, the bodily fluid and blood, the loathsome curdled lump of flesh which has to be fed for 9 months off this same muck." Oh my goodness, but that's pretty strong language for a monk. And quite frankly, as Tertullian goes on, it's hard not to sympathize with Marcion at least a little bit, because all of this does seem just a little beneath the dignity of God Almighty. But then Tertullian gets down to business. "You reject all of this, do you?" he asks, and then continues, "But how were you born?" And there's Tertullian's point all along. If human birth is too messy, too mucky, too undignified for God, then so are we. Yet in that babe of Bethlehem, God embraced everything about our lives, our birth for sure, but also our hopes and our hurts, our dreams and disappointments, everything. And that is what St. Luke's story of Christmas is all about, that God and Jesus would go through absolutely anything to be with us, that God in Jesus would do anything to save us, that God in Jesus would be born in a manger and crucified on a cross in order to give us life, hope, and courage. Why? Because the love I feel for my children and the love that you feel for those who are most dear to you, that is exactly the same way God feels about you. Yes, this story, when you pause to consider it, seems a little crazy. But that's kind of what love is like when you think about it. I mean, when you're in love, you'll do anything, say anything, attempt anything to care for your beloved. And so all of the carols, all the readings, all the candlelight and special music, it's all meant to remind you that to God, you are perfect. You are wonderful. You are precious. You are loved. 50 years ago today, on Christmas Eve in 1968, the astronauts of the Apollo 8 mission first circled the moon. And one of them, Bill Anders, took a photo of the Earth as it came into view behind the moon. That photo, later called Earthrise, would soon become one of the most recognizable pictures in history, as it showed the Earth as small and beautiful and fragile. How could it be, we may wonder, that of all the millions of planets in the universe, this little blue marble is the one to hold life and to sit at the center of God's attention and care? It seems absurd, and yet it's true. That same evening when the astronauts broadcast to Earth their account of what they had seen that day, they did not quote a philosopher or politician or even a founding father, but rather they quoted Scripture, reading the Genesis story of God's creation of heaven and earth. Why? Because the biblical story is the only story big enough to hold all our hopes and fears, all our dreams and experiences. So also the Christmas story that we tell tonight is simultaneously both strange and wonderful, both highly improbable and absolutely crucial. For it tells the story of a God who will stop at absolutely nothing to love you and save you and hold on to you through all things. It's a story that is absurd and yet also true. And the world, this world God loves, is better because we're telling it. "For unto you," the angel said, "unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, Christ the Lord." All for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. And Merry Christmas.